Well, good morning.
Yeah, we can move these. So if you have your Bibles, okay, we'll just start off with Bibles. I'm going to be mainly speaking to Genesis 6 and a little bit of 7, but I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 24. So if you want to open to your Bibles to that, maybe put a finger in Genesis 6. Or your maybe apps are quick enough to swap back and forth. So Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 6 through 8, "You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." He also said in Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man be." Whenever you look at the news today, whatever your preferred method is, whether it be a hard print, Eric, or your device or computer, whatever you're reading your news on, it doesn't take long that you read or hear about a war or threat of war happening. It doesn't take too long to read or hear about one nation confronting another nation for some reason. It doesn't take long to read or hear about unprecedented weather events or an earthquake. Like our snowstorm yesterday. That wasn't really unprecedented in my mind because I used to remember having those as a kid. We had them all the time. News stories of fighting in the Middle East, protests here in the U.S., extreme inflation in South America, anti-Semitism on the rise around the world, and the list could go on. The birth pangs are definitely getting stronger. But despite all this, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have his promises of your future hope to hold on to. And when Jesus said in Matthew 24:37 that the coming of man will be just as like in the days of Noah, he was referring to Genesis 6. People in Noah's day were living for themselves. They were living without regard for the coming judgment. I just want to make a side note, and I think I've said this in one of my previous sermons, but I can't stop saying that when Jesus refers to Genesis 6 as fact, if we believe who Jesus is, that he is God, he cannot lie, his word is truth, then so should we. Like Jesus, consider Genesis as true history. Genesis is historical. We need to know what it says. So Genesis 6:5 says, "Then the Lord says that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Every intent of their thoughts was evil, and their hearts was evil. So going back to the news we hear today, the evil we see is getting to be more and more commonplace, just like in the days of Noah. People are not living with regard to the coming judgment. We're warned about this again back in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4 says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness." Godlessness, although they have denied its power. Holding to a form of holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. There we go. Avoid such men as these. So what we see here is a list of all kinds of evils that we see in the world today. Lovers of everything but God. Lovers of self. Lovers of money. Lovers of pleasure. Boasting, arrogant, ungrateful, unholy, not showing love to our neighbors, being disobedient to our parents, being unloving, gossiping, and being treacherous, and the list goes on. What we hear, we see in this also a lack of respect for life. This is, I'm going to probably say this a couple of times, but almost four times more babies have been aborted in the world so far this year than all the servicemen and women that have given their lives in the last 250 years for the defense of this country. Let me say that again. Four times more babies have been aborted in the world so far this year than all the servicemen and women that have given their lives in the last 250 years for the defense of our country. It's about 1.3 million men and women have given their lives in the defense of this country. Over almost, it's close to 5 million as of this morning, babies have been aborted in the world so far this year. That is just a staggering statistic. If it doesn't break your heart, I don't know what does. There are more men, women, and children in slavery today than in the four centuries of the transatlantic slave trade. There's 27 plus million people in either forced labor or in sex trafficking. The majority in forced labor. That's, again, another staggering statistic. There's more sex before and outside of marriage than ever before. I could go on, but we can all see the days are getting more evil, and they may not get any better before the return of Christ. I'm certain of that. In these times, there are lessons we can learn from Noah, who endured similar times that were possibly even much worse than what we see today. We have all probably heard the stories of Noah and the flood before as children. Deb and I even bought Alice a little toy ark for Christmas with the wooden figures of Noah and his family and the animals so she could learn about Noah through play. I think she even knows the name of Noah already, right? Yeah. But there are more we can learn from Noah and apply to our lives than just the flood story. So that's what I'm focusing on this morning. So going back to Genesis 6, verses 6 through 8. The Lord was sorry that he had made men on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man from whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds for the sky. I'm sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God was making it pretty clear that he was disappointed with what he had created, that he was ready to destroy it all. Have you ever felt that way about something you have made to the point where you want to tear it all down? Or maybe deleted something you were writing, at backspace until it was all gone? Or crumpled up the paper and threw it into the wastebasket or even a fire? I know I've done that kind of thing. As I often do when I'm working or doing something around the house, I think of God's involvement in what I'm doing or just the similar things. And I've been tiling our shower, all these tiles, 600, 700 tiles, I can't remember how many, my mind was just boggled, and putting the grout in. There were several times when doing the grout, which would harden too fast for me, I'd have to dig it back out. But I would leave some in that would look okay. A lot of it didn't look okay to my eye. I didn't like it, so I would tear it down. But there were some that were good enough that I would leave it, and I wouldn't scrape it out, and wouldn't start all over again on those. So it was just like God with Noah. Noah was not perfect, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Just like those grout lines that I liked and the ones I didn't like. He kept the ones he liked. We see one of those transition words here, but, in this verse, telling us that despite wanting to blot out all of mankind, God had favor with Noah. He gave grace to Noah. He didn't do to him what he was going to do to the rest of mankind. And that's where it starts for all of us, isn't it? Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We have been saved from the death we deserve because we found favor with God through our faith in Jesus Christ, and he extended his grace to us. Noah had faith, and through that faith, we read in Hebrews 11:7 that he became an heir to righteousness. Noah was saved, just like us, from the death he deserved. Continuing in Genesis 6, we read in verse 9, "These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time, and Noah walked with God." So the first thing we learn about Noah from this is that he stood apart from the peoples of his day. We sang about that this morning, that holiness. Holiness means to be set apart. Noah was stood apart from the people of his day. The verse tells us that he was righteous, he was blameless in his time, and that he walked with God. These words are used to show and describe Noah and why he found favor with God. First one is he was righteous. This is the first use of the word righteous in the Bible. This is saying that Noah was upright, moral, ethical, honest, and just. It is saying that he was the opposite of wicked, evil, corrupt, dishonest, or immoral. He was not like the rest of mankind. He stood out. His heart was concerned about the things of God. We also read that he was blameless, or in other translations it may say upright, but he had integrity in his time. And again, this implies that the people around him knew that he had that integrity. It does not tell us that he was sinless, because being blameless probably means if he did sin, he confessed those sins to God and asked for forgiveness so that he may be considered blameless. And the last thing we see is he was walked with God. He knew God, and God knew him, just like his great-grandfather Enoch. We read in Genesis 5 that Enoch also served with God so closely that God took him. He didn't die. He just no longer was. It also stands to reason that there were many of Enoch's other grandchildren and great-grandchildren around at the time of the flood. Maybe some of them even claimed that they had a relationship with God, but they had become so like the world that they were indistinguishable. However, the fact that Noah walked with God tells us that he still had a relationship with God. He stood out. So all of these things describe a person who stands out among the people of his time. One that still had faith in, trusted, and obeyed his Creator. Do we stand out in our time? Are we disobeying man's laws because we feel they are ridiculous or limit us? For example, are we totally honest on our taxes? Do we obey all the motor vehicle laws? I was thinking the other night, I was driving up to pick up Andrew at the airport about 11:30 at night. Not many cars on the road, and I came to one intersection where there was a red light, and I'm sitting there. There's no one around, no cars in sight, nothing. I could have just... But I was working on this and was thinking in my mind, being convicted, right? It's like, don't take the turn. Don't turn on the road. And I didn't. I was good. But it's that type of thing. Are we thinking about that? Romans tells us, Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, that we are to obey our governing authorities. And if it tells us also that if we resist authority, we are disobeying God. Obviously, if man's laws tell us to do something contrary or against God's word, we shouldn't do that. But we are to obey authority when it's over us, right? If it's not against God's word, we should be obeying it. When I was looking at this about traffic violations again, came up with this statistic, which is kind of interesting. It said, we have a culture of indifference. It says, data suggests that many people do not feel bothered by committing minor traffic infractions, with some studies suggesting 58% of people view breaking the law as okay if the crimes are minor. It says something about society. It says something about us. We should think about what we're watching on TV as well. Does it promote or does it demote Christian values? Are we watching TV that just, you know, feeds into that stuff that's not Christian, that things are not, they're just not in accordance with God's will for us to be taking in? When we're at family gatherings or parties, Super Bowl parties, are you participating in gossip or off-color jokes? none of us want to be ridiculed or made fun of, but we try to fit in, but we shouldn't be trying to fit in at the price of our faith in Christ and our representatives of Christ in this world. We don't want to be known as a prude or someone who doesn't like to have fun. We are so easily tempted to go along with the crowd in our daily life rather than to stand alone with Christ. But as Christians, we shouldn't yield to these pressures. We should be set apart from the world in all that we do. We should be like Noah and be recognized as righteous, blameless, and having a walk with God. The second thing we learn about Noah is that he trusted God. He trusted God's word. God told Noah about future events, things not yet seen. And there's four examples of this I want to bring forth. First one was, God told him what he was going to do. God told him that the end of the flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. That's in verse 13 of chapter 6. He told Noah how he was going to do it in verse 17. Behold, I am even bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. He told him who he was going to save in verse 18. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And he also told him when he was going to do it. In verse 4 of chapter 7, it says, for after 7 more days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made. Because Noah had faith, he trusted God that these things would come to pass. Because he had faith in that trust, he spent over 100 years building an ark in the middle of a desert. Do we have that kind of faith? We need to look, be like Noah and trust the word of God. Trust what he's telling us. In order to trust it, though, we first need to know and hear the word of God. How much time do we spend watching TV, listening to music, reading books other than the Bible? The national daily average for screen time, it's another staggering event of statistics, 7 hours and 4 minutes. How much of that screen time are we devoting to things of God? The latest statistics said 63% of Americans describe themselves as Christians, which I think is a lot lower than I remember hearing, but maybe it's going down. But only 11% of U.S. adults read their Bible every day. The average Bible study time is about 30 minutes, which I was surprised to hear that was a high. I thought that was a high number, but I was equally surprised at the 11% figure. That I thought that was extremely low, and it's very disappointing. We need to spend more time in God's Word so we can know who God is, what His will is for our life, what His promises are, and what our future holds, and who He is. We are so bombarded by the things of the world that if we don't increase our intake of the Word of God, we will not know how to stand against the evil of our day. And Pastor Dan spoke of those evils a couple months ago. In Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 7, talks about the armor of God. And that's what we have so we can stand against the evil in our day. And the Word of God is the only defensive weapon included in the armor of God list. We need to make sure we know it so that we can wield it when we need it. I encourage you to read your Bible daily, not just a quick devotional in the morning. Really read it. Spend some time in it. Pray over it. Ask God to illuminate it so you can understand it. Memorize Scripture so you can wield it. Remember, even Jesus, when tempted by the devil in the desert, used Scripture as his defense. We also learn from Noah that he was obedient to God's word. Obedience is the product of our faith. Obedience is doing what God tells us to do, not because we have to, but because we love him and we want to glorify him. 2 times we read that Noah did all according to that God had commanded him. The first time was in verse 22 of chapter 6, after God told him to build an ark with very specific materials and dimensions. I can only imagine what it was like for Noah to take on building an ark in the middle of the desert that had the same capacity of about 522 railroad stock cars. That's immense. That's huge. I know some of you have probably gone to the NARC, the ARC adventure to see the full-size model of the ark. I want to get there. I guess can't imagine the size of it. But he's out there in the middle of the desert building this thing. Can you imagine the ridicule that he was undertaking? How many times he was called crazy for what he was doing? What would you have said? That's ridiculous. It'll cost too much. It'll take too much time. It doesn't make much sense to do that. It never rained before. But Noah was obedient, and he walked with God in complete obedience. He built the ark. The second time we hear about his obedience is in chapter 7, verse 5, where it is said that Noah was obedient to God in the loading of the animals and entering the ark with his family. Can you imagine the thoughts that ran through his head at that time? You want me to do what? That's crazy. But Noah did all according to what the Lord had told him. He was obedient to the Lord. And the last lesson, thing I would like to point out is that we can learn from Noah is perseverance in the face of trials. If you look back in Genesis 5:29, we see that Noah's name means rest. This is a signal that we have from God that God would be giving us relief from a fallen world. He'd be giving us rest. Perseverance is rooted in the same promise. The Lord has already planned for our rest before our trials even begin. Jesus is our rest in time of trial. We read in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heaven laden, and I will give you rest." And in Revelation 14, verse 11, we read, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, the Spirit says, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them." Genesis 6:3 gives us another hint that there would be 120 years between God's warning to Noah and the flood. Noah spent this time building an ark on dry ground, as I said, in the middle of a desert. He persevered due to his faith and obedience to God's word. Results of his obedience were not immediate by any means. He persevered for 120 years. Every board cut, every nail driven, spoke of his trust in God's timeline, not in man's. It's also an example of that's indicator that perseverance is not passive. Perseverance is active. We can't just sit back and do nothing while we wait for God. We need to be active in pursuing and complying with God's word. Start every day with your ark building. Every assignment that God gives us, look for it, ask him for it, pray to him, look for those assignments each and every day. Even when the payoff may seem distant. If Noah can take 100 to 120 years to build an ark, and he just kept doing it, we can too. Everything God tells us to do is an ark building assignment. Remind yourself daily of the promises of God's word and that he has planned for your rest in eternity. Trust his word and align yourself with keeping yourself from the things of the world. Give thanks to God every day for everything he does for you, big or small. Seek the evidence of his faithfulness to you to help you persevere in tomorrow's storms. In conclusion, Noah stood apart in a fallen world, a wicked world that was about to be destroyed. With all things that were going around him, he remained faithful, and he continued to walk with God and remained obedient to him. He still had a close relationship with God. Noah did it. We need to do the same today. We need to follow Noah's example. Some questions to ask yourself, and not just once, but just always reviewing your walk. Are you standing apart from the world where people recognize that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do they see that you are righteous, blameless, and walk with God? Are you trusting and obeying God's word? Are you persevering in trials by turning God turning to God for your strength and rest. The Word of God tells us that the world is not going to last forever. We don't know the day or the hour we will go home to be with Him. We don't know the day or hour He will return. We need to live like it could be in the next 5 minutes. We need to live like Noah. Read, listen to, and pray about God's Word. Know it, obey it, and trust it. Take confidence in His promises by persevering, by walking with Him step by step, minute by minute, and day by day. That is my prayer for myself. That is my prayer for all of us, that we just dedicate ourselves to God. Don't be afraid to stand out and let people know who you are in Christ everywhere you go and everywhere you are. So, just pray that, Father God, just I pray that there was something in the words I've spoken today that resonates with the hearts of those here and maybe online, that they would dedicate themselves or rededicate themselves to walking in your presence with you each and every day, to be blameless, to be righteous, to spend time with you, walking with you, and knowing what your will is for each and every one of us, Lord God. I love you, Jesus, and just may you be with everybody today as they depart from here and in the craziness of the weather outside and the cold. Just keep, may everybody keep warm and drive safely, Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen.